The news that the United States seeks to reestablish diplomatic relations with Cuba arrived with the urgency of a hurricane in Key West, Florida. NPR's John Burnett visited the tiny island city, which is home to America's most historic Cuban community.
Like Cuban-American families throughout the diaspora, the Garcias of Key West gather on Noche Buena, or Christmas Eve, to catch up on news and eat a traditional meal of lechon, roast pig.
Oh, I've got a good one here for you.
Wayne Garcia, a local building contractor and artist, prepared the pork for the family feast this year. He smokes it for 7 hours in a hole he digs in his backyard, in the style he says that was passed down from his great-grandparents.
The secret to this is that we use guava branches from the guava tree to give it a smoked taste. And that's the Key West Cuban tradition.
Out by the pool sits his 89-year-old father, Gregorio Garcia. Like many Key West Cubans, he arrived before Fidel Castro's revolution.
Yo era albañil en Cuba. Llegué a Key West en 1958.
I was a mason in Cuba, he says. I came to Key West in 1958 looking for a better life. There used to be a ferry that ran between the two islands every day. I hope they operate it again someday. The Garcias pile their paper plates high with the savory pork, black beans and rice, and Cuban bread. They drink wine and ice-cold Mexican beer. They hug one another generously on this warm night before Christmas. One of Gregorio's three children, Manny, is a lawyer in Key West. He's never visited Cuba. He says he wants to, even though the trade embargo still prevents American tourism.
We have a longing to know this island. I think it's a discovery of ourselves and filling in gaps of who we are.
We'll return to the Garcias Noche Buena dinner in a minute, but now let's meet one of Key West's best-known Cuban politicians, Tony Yanez, the burly, white-bearded city commissioner. What Yanez says is repeated often around town, that before the completion of the federal highway in 1938, linking the Florida Keys, Key West felt more like a province of Cuba.
People actually tell me, old-timers tell me about even taking the ferry boat to Cuba to go to the dentist or go to the doctor. You cannot separate the histories and the cultures of the two islands.
Yanez was born in Havana, immigrated with his parents after Fidel came to power, and holds a visceral love for his homeland.
When I first heard the news on television of President Obama saying that this dream that Cuba was going to open up, I bawled. I cried like a baby for a long time. And, of course, started calling relatives and friends, and they were all crying.
And you're getting emotional again.
Of course. It's over half a century of dreaming of something. No politics aside, this 54-year policy has done nothing but separate families and hurt the Cuban people.
For the interview, Tony Yanez happens to be standing inside one of the most famous buildings in Key West. The San Carlos Institute is where the Cuban national hero, José Martí, came in 1891 to whip up support for the Cuban War of Independence against Spanish colonial rule. Yanez loves his Cuban history, and so does Rafael Peñalver, though they're on opposite ends of the political spectrum. Peñalver is a Miami lawyer who also fled Havana with his parents as a child. He's director of the San Carlos Institute. He and Yanez butted heads a couple of years ago when Yanez invited some diplomats from the Cuban interest section in Washington to lay a wreath at the Martí statue. Rafael Peñalver refused them entry.
I told Tony Yanez to come here as a showpiece, to put a wreath in front of the statue of José Martí. That, to me, was unacceptable.
Earlier this week, they clashed again. The board of directors of San Carlos, led by Peñalver, wrote a caustic letter condemning Obama's new Cuba policy.
This is an agreement between economic interests of the United States and the interests of a Cuban dictator that wants to stay in power.
That's not the way Andrea Gallardo Runk sees it. She's a 31-year-old architect who lives in Tallahassee and a member of the third generation of the Garcia clan, the family we heard from at the top of the story.
You hear your grandparents come from there, and you eat the food, you listen to the music, you dance the dances, and it's unattainable.
She and the rest of the extended family relish the possibility of visiting their unattainable homeland. John Burnett, NPR News, Miami.